Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask the question first, and you can call out your answer, or you can raise your hand, whatever you want to say. What's your favorite Psalms? Anybody have a favorite Psalm? Miss Robin. 27. Anybody else have a favorite one? 100. None of the normal favorite ones out there. Anybody else got a favorite one? Most people would say, what? 23rd. The 23rd. That's what most people would say, the first. 23rd, maybe the first. We spent how many months on Psalms 119? Some people might say that that's their favorite. Anybody else got a favorite that's a little different? Okay. What is it? 34. That's still not my favorite. Anybody have a favorite one there? 38. You're getting close. You're not getting close if it's 138. So 138, that's great. So mine's 37. So Psalms 37. That's what we're going to start off tonight with, Psalms 37. It's got so many great things in it. And so Psalms 23 is awesome. Psalms 1 are awesome, but they're shorter. So you get more out of Psalms 37. But with that logic, would say we should pick Psalms 119 because of how long it is. So, and once again, those are all really great ones. Psalms 37 has a lot of good things in it. And tonight we're going to stray away a little bit from the Bless series, but it is going to have a little bit of the same context. We're going to look at the words, there's a better way. There's a better way. You ever had something that you had done and you did it over and over and you hated doing it and it took you so long, and then someone walks up to you and say, hey, why don't you try doing it this way? And they do it in like half the time. Number one, you're happy because like, wow, I'm surprised that worked. And number two, you're mad because of the fact that you wasted how many times doing that. And I know there's lots of different examples. I was helping my son with a couple things, and there was some, don't you love those recorded messages and tells you to push one or push two, and then you got to push another number, and then you got to push. I really think they're hoping that you give up because of the fact that how many things they want you to push. And I showed him he's been trying to get in contact with some different things for church business, and he says, I just can't get through. They're asking for a certain number. And so I called the thing, and when they started to ask questions, I pushed zero. And if you keep on pushing zero, a lot of the times it will send you to an operator. Doesn't always work, but lots of times it will actually send you to an operator. And he's like, wow. He says, how'd you do that? I says, you just get frustrated, you start pushing zero. Because usually the zero means the operator. Now, a couple of times they'll say, tell us what you need. You push zero. Tell us what you need. After three or four times, they'll send you to somebody. Now, the person might be all the way over in China, and you might not be able to understand what they're saying, but they're sending you somewhere. So, and it was a government agency that we were trying to get a hold of, and kept on pushing zero, and finally got through, and the person picked up, and he says, I wish I would have tried that yesterday or the day before, because he had kept on trying to get a hold of them, left messages, and for some reason they didn't respond. And there's been times in my life when somebody says, hey, why don't you just try it this way, and just a simple twist or simple turn, and it's like, that makes so much sense. That is so much easier. And the Bible has a little word that's called the word better, and it's found over and over. There's this thought, better is the, and talks about something better. Now, we can look at a lot of different things in Ecclesiastes. We can even look at things before the book of Psalms, things after the book of Proverbs. But we're staying focused tonight on what the Bible says is better, what God says is better. And we are going to be doing some turning tonight, and we're going to look at some different things. And a lot of the things, I think, preaches itself, because they're self-explanatory verses. So you might want to write these down and kind of go back and look at it. But it's kind of the Bible saying, this is the better way of doing things. Now, how does that do with the blessed? That's the same type of thing we've been talking about. Blessed is the man, meaning there's something you're not going to do and something you are going to do. But this is kind of more better is. There's a better way. And God's way is always better. We might not always see it. We might not always understand it. But God's way is always better. And you say, I thought, why in the world? I'm going through the book of Proverbs with my wife in devotions, and as we're reading through it, we kept on, and book of Proverbs has a lot of these, you know, better is a little with righteous, or better is the poor, or better is to be of a humble spirit, and keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. I'm thinking, why in the world does it say better is this, better is that, better? It's because the world tells you something else is better. And the world presents a picture, oh, this is what's better. But no, God says, this is what really is better, or this is what the blessed life looks like. And so when we look at this, the reason why we're starting off in Psalms 37 is number one, because of the fact that it has one of those better statements in it. But more importantly, we want to start off with one of the main reasons, at least what the Lord showed to me, is that sometimes we look at other people's lives, and even though they seem like they're doing something wrong, they seem like they have something figured out a little bit better than us because they maybe have more things than us. But that's why it says in Psalms 37:1, when it goes and says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And you say, why not? It's because for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You think about it. He's saying, don't worry about them. Don't be envious of them because their future is pretty bleak. It's pretty bad. Then he begins to tell you what you should be concerned about. Look what it says in verse number three, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. I love verse 4. It was one of our theme verses for the year. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Man, I want my desires to line up with God's desires. Because when my desires lines up with God's desires, God's going to give me desires of my heart. We always say, well, Pastor, I have people say, I see that verse, I want to believe that verse, but God doesn't give me my desires. It's because we have the wrong desires. He gives us the things that he wants for our lives. And when we surrender and submit to him, our desires become what his desires are for us. And then he freely gives us those things that's going to accomplish his will. Verse number 5 is probably just as great as verse number 4. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. So the laying the foundation for the service and this message, there is a better way if we would learn to trust in the Lord, like it talks about in verse number 3, and we learn to delight in the things that he is saying, and then we commit to it. As we commit to it, then we're saying, I'm trusting God to know the better way. You ever been with somebody and you're driving down the road and you're going a certain way, and somebody there in the car with you say, hey, I know a shortcut. I know a better way. That's scary, depending on who you're riding with. Sometimes it is a good thing. They can carve off a few minutes. Sometimes it's a bad thing. They take you down all these back roads and they get lost, things like that. God's way is a better way. And it's not just Psalms 37:1 that tells us not about fretting about thyself because of evildoers, but Proverbs 24:1 says, be thou not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. I think many times Christians look at the things of the world and it's like, I want what they have. I desire those things. They're plastered on all those commercials. And I know billboards are kind of a things of the past, but they're still up there on the billboards. And everybody talks about it. It's pushed on us that we begin thinking, man, that looks like, don't be envious of wickedness. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Proverbs 24:19 says that. And it's just, don't be envious of this world. Their future is horrible, but what they have is fool's gold. It is not truly happiness. It's not true joy. They might try to look like they got it figured out, but there's a better way. There's a way of doing things that the Bible says and that what God says is much better. So that's what we're going to look at. There is 3 different points, but there's a lot of verses under 2 of the points, only a couple verses under the last point. The first thing is better than riches. Better than riches. Probably the main theme of this is it's better to be right with God than have a bunch of stuff. And that's what it's going to show over and over. In Psalms 37, verse 16 is where you see this first illustration. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now look at this again. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now, not just even just one wicked. It's saying better than many wicked. Now, most of us would say, hey, they have a bunch of things. I mean, they're living the life. You see all those people on TV and all those Hollywood people, and you read about how they spend all these millions of dollars on this or that. And some people, especially young people, their eyes light up and say, man, that's the life. But then you hear of a lot of them committing suicide and have to be in drug rehab and have how many divorces and just never finding happiness in this, the young, beautiful crowd that lives on today. You keep on saying, well, this person died early and this person died early and this person died early. It's fool's gold. There is a better way. And the Bible's saying that a little, just meaning a little, and it says a little, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues. I'm sorry, that's skipping ahead there. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. It is better to only have a little and be right than to have riches of many wicked. And I thought that was interesting. I like the verse, but the word, when they write down many wicked, that makes me think that, I don't know, I've met a lot of people. I've been in a lot of people's houses, been in a lot of places, not as many as some of you, but those that don't have that much sometimes find more graciousness and happiness and joy than some that have so much. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having much, because I think it's great that they have much. And I think it's great that I know people who give to the work of the Lord, and how I think the Lord blesses sometimes people with financial and with certain things so that way they can use it for the ministry, and praise the Lord for that. But we many of us know people that their wealth is not something that's healthy for them. Their wealth instead is a snare for them. The love of money is the root of all evil. And you come to the spot, I've seen some people, and I've been to some people's houses, or maybe some widow ladies' houses, or some older people's houses, and I go around and I look around, and they don't have hardly anything, but you couldn't tell them that. I mean, they think they have everything because they have the Lord. And the joy that's in their heart, the joy that's in their life. And once again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having things. I mean, I have some things, but we can't let things have us. And so when I read this and I see this, and it says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And I go into sometimes people's houses and I see they don't have much, but they don't know that, because they think they have enough with the Lord, and they do. And that joy that's there, and they're happy, and they're the ones who are the ones that sometimes are even willing to give. So let's go on this journey together, looking at some things that are better than riches. The righteous man is one of those things. So let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Proverbs 28. Once again, we're going to be turning today, looking at these so we can figure out these things. Proverbs 28. Proverbs, and once again, there are some things that are better than riches. If you have riches, praise the Lord. Use them for the Lord. Use them for honor and for glory. Don't be ashamed of anything the Lord's done for you. But this is saying there's something even more important than riches. Look what it says in Proverbs 28, verse number 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Read that again. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his way, though he be rich. Your life will be better living righteously than living ungodly, even if you have riches. Your life will be better living as a righteous individual than living ungodly with many riches. Some people think, well, if I got a bunch of riches, I'll be happy, I'll be good. It's not true. The Bible says this is better than riches. It's living righteously. It's walking in that righteousness. Go ahead and take your Bible back to chapter 16, verse number 8. You say, Pastor, some of these verses are going to be similar. They are. If God repeats this, don't you think we should too? If God puts an emphasis here and says, hey, look, pay attention, I think we should look at it too. Look what it says in Proverbs 16, 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. It is better to have little and get it the right way than to have much doing it the wrong way. Now, this is a principle that we need to preach and we need to teach. So, because a lot of people say, well, is it really stealing? Is it really cheating? Is it really okay to just kind of, you know, push the envelope? It's being a good steward. You know, that no, the Bible's saying, are we trusting the Lord? Are we trusting man? He's saying here, look, it's better. It's better to have a little and be righteous. than to have great revenues without being right. It doesn't matter if it means we lose everything. If we're going to be right, it's better to be right and have a little than to have a whole bunch and be wrong with God. Let's look here in Proverbs 16:19. It's just Proverbs 16:19. The Bible says, better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So this is actually giving us an idea of who it's better to be around, but also still talking about the riches. Better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So they're saying you have a choice here. You can be with the lowly. You can be with those that does not have much and be humble. Or you can have a whole bunch and be amongst those that are proud. And they say it's better to be with the lowly and to be humble than be over here and just be dividing it up, saying, hey, there's plenty to go around. And those that are prideful. And you say, what's wrong with a little bit of pride? The Bible, God talks about how he hates pride. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first one, a proud look. I mean, pride is, I think, one of the general roots of all sins. It's what got Lucifer in trouble, wanting to exalt himself, thinking too highly of himself. And pride is what damages our testimonies and our hearts of trying, saying, I know better than God. We would never say that out loud, but our actions say it. And we want to justify ourselves, and we want to be right, and we got to be right. But the Bible says that God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. This is something in the world that the world would never understand. The world would say it's okay to be boastful. They're okay if you're wealthy, show it, flaunt it. The world would say yes, you know. But God says he resists that, and that's why he's saying if you're willing to be humble and you're willing to work with the lowly, you know what? That's so much better than being with the prideful, being with someone who will not get right and who refuses to get right and refuses to listen to the word of God. He says it's better to be humble with the lowly. Doesn't matter that they don't have much. Doesn't matter if the world has everything to offer you. God says it's better to be humble with the lowly. They're focused on becoming more wealthy many times, but more importantly, they see nothing wrong with their pride. I meet Christians like that, that no matter what you tell them, no matter if you showed them right in the Bible, this is where you're wrong. Don't want to see it. Don't want to have anything to do with it. It's where the pride comes. Proverbs 19:22 says, the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. So if you want to turn over a couple of verses, a poor man is better than a liar. Proverbs 19:22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Who would you rather have as a friend? Who would you rather have working for you? Who would you rather have in a relationship with you? A poor person or a liar? And we don't want to be around those that are lying. And once again, this is a challenging thing because not only does people speak lies, they live lies at times. Go back to Proverbs 16:16. And what's better than riches? Wisdom is. And we're only using one verse here, but this is found multiple times that this is what we should go for. This is what our goal should be. This is what we're trying to reach. Chapter 16, verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And they get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? So he's saying, look, it's better to get wisdom and understanding from God than gold and then silver. And that most of us, that's what we're looking for. What's the next great thing? What's the next big thing? And many times we're seeking for that gold or that silver that we never find, seeking for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But the Bible's talking about wisdom and presents wisdom, that it cries out, it's calling out, it's there, it's available. Yes, you have to search for it. Yes, you have to seek understanding. Yes, you have to search for the Lord. But it's there and it's available. But we spend our lives many times just looking for the things that we're never, ever going to truly grasp. That next great big success where you get all this money and all this wealth. He says, it's better to get wisdom than gold silver, or even rubies, as it talks about earlier in the book of Proverbs. Better than riches. Second thing I want you to think about is better with peace. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to James chapter 3. I know we were going to stay focused in Psalms and Proverbs, but I want to lay a foundational point down for this, that this is better with peace. Life is always better with peace. And there is a number of things in this, in the book of Proverbs, that talks about that it's better with this, better to have a little than to have a lot with strife. Look what it says in James chapter number 3. I was reading through this in my own devotions, and it just kind of spoke to my heart. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So a wise person isn't always the loudest. Normally it's not. But look at what he says, show out of a good conversation, the way that they live their lives, and with meekness of wisdom. But then there's a different individual that's introduced here. It's not a person that's meek of wisdom. It says, verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Man, that's a mouthful. Because oftentimes we see when someone is angry, we feel like they're righteous in their anger. But if they are not producing the fruits of the Spirit, the Bible says that envying and strife in your hearts, that they lie not against the truth. Where does that wisdom come from? It doesn't come from above. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. And where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Now, once again, I think we can be passionate. We can be passionate about the things we know and the things that we believe, just as Jesus was. But you don't see Jesus doing it in a fleshly way. And that's what he's saying here in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then look at the wisdom that's there. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and of good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. And it's sort of like the hypocrisy that's there when the person is trying to do something, but they're doing it in the flesh, but they're doing it in the name of the Spirit. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, based off of that, let's look at what's better according to what the Bible says in Proverbs 15. Go ahead and take your Bible back to Proverbs 15. So it's better with peace. Not only is it's better than money, wisdom's better than money. It's better to have a little and be humble than be with the proud and have the great riches. It's better to all those different things that we looked at when it came to our finances. But there is another portion in the book of Proverbs that says it often, that talks about another thing that's better. It's dealing with being peaceful. Proverbs 15. Look at what it says in 15 verses 17 through 17. All the days of the afflicted are evil. But look at this next phrase. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. I think that's good. You know, you're going to be able to continually feast when you have a merry heart. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. You guys remember that song? Yeah, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And so we see that, and it's a continual feast. It's based off of joy. But then it says in verse 16, better is little. Once again, it's saying it's better not to have much. Better is little with the fear of the Lord, and we talked about the fear of the Lord last week, than great treasure and trouble therewith. It's better to have a little bit and fear the Lord than have trouble with great treasure. And then it goes in verse 17, it says something similar. Better is as a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. And this is just the book of Proverbs. But you just think about some of these verses. You write these down and take them home. They're saying it is better to have a salad, and it's rabbit food. Some of you might like salad, I don't know why you would like salad, but it's the herbs. It's very just to have some vegetables there. And I know some of you like vegetables, but just to have just lettuce. You don't get to have ranch. You don't get to have the tomatoes. You don't get to have the bacon. Just some basic, just very simple, something you should be thankful for. And then on the other side, you got the T-bone steak. You got as big of a steak as you want. And praise the Lord, that's good food there. And saying it's better to eat just lettuce with someone you love than to eat the best food in all the world with somebody that you hate or that hates you. And look what it says at the end of verse number 17. It says, and hatred therewith. Now, most of us would say, of course, we gotta eat. Of course, this is the best way. And who cares about the company? He's saying there's a better way. And who we deal with and how we deal with them. Remember that strife and that envying doesn't come from above. It's earthly. It's devilish. And that's where all evil is there. And that's what they're saying. It's better, instead of having the best food in all the world and sitting someone who hates you, it's better to be able to enjoy around with comfort. And I think the Bible is here talking about our relationships with husbands and wives and families. Oh, how sad is it that families sometimes don't get along today? I have some broken relationships in our family. And boy, how sad is it when people don't want to get along and then there's fighting and there's arguing. And I hate it amongst our physical families. I hate it probably even more amongst our church family. And that there's that doesn't come from above. And they're here and they say, it's better to do this. Now, if you're going with this thought of, hey, I'm going to eat with someone and try to befriend them and try to reach them, go all for that, obviously, because the Lord can minister that. But they're saying, which one's better? It's better to have, and once again, I know some of you like lettuce. Great if you like lettuce and pretend that that's what you're eating with the person you hate. But I don't understand. But at the same time, it's there, and it says it right there. But it's not only there. There's other verses that talk about it. Go ahead and take your Bible, chapter 16. Chapter 16. Look what it says in verse 32. I really enjoyed this verse. Preached the message on this verse a couple years ago. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You know, some people, it's there. It's scripture. We don't like to hear it because we all get angry at times. But it's saying that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. There is something that's better than the strife. There's something, it's peace that comes from God. It continues on. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Most people would look at like the Eliab, the older brother of David, and it's like, oh yeah, there he is. He's strong. He's got to be right. And God looks at him and says, you don't have any clue what I'm looking for. The person that's able to, as it's saying here, a person who's able to be slow to anger and a person who's able to rule his own spirit, that's better than anybody that could take over a city. That's where you find treasure at. That's what we should be looking for. That's what we should be seeking for, to have the God controlling our spirit. Most of us will spend much time to get stronger and get mightier and, you know, be able to be all this physically. But he's saying if you would learn to take care of the spirit, that is where true value is at. We look at it and we look at the world and we see a person that maybe is super strong or super this or super that. And he says, look, test this. How angry do they get? Are they slow to anger? Are they able to control their spirit? And once again, this is not the easiest thing. I like to say that I always respond right. I like to say that I never do anything that's wrong. I always like to say I respond with kindness all the time. It doesn't happen all the time for me. It's something I have to work on. It's something I have to fight with. Because when I was younger, I did not respond that way. And the Lord taught me many hard lessons. But there are still times that you could even ask my wife, I don't respond always with kindness. And this is something that I desire to do because I want to be stronger than just the mighty, because the mighty is flesh. God can provide that strength and God can help be better than the ones that take a city. But if I surrender my spirit to him, it's a spirit that he can use to influence others. Let's keep on going. Let's go ahead and Proverbs 17:1, since you're right there. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. It's just simple. It's just keep on repeating it and repeating it. And he said, why are you using the same verses? If God repeats it, shouldn't we repeat it? It's simple. It's just something that's a small, dry morsel versus a house full of sacrifice. What's the difference? One has strife, one doesn't. How much will we love to have peace? How much will we love to... And I've been to places where people are tense, whatever you want to say. They have tensions. That's a good thing. I've sat up in my office and talked to husbands and wives and friends or enemies. And I've sat up there and listened to in marriage counseling about husbands and wives that are strife. They don't even want to be around each other anymore. And it's saying here that if you have a spot there, and it says, better have a dry morsel and quietness therewith, that many times people are seeking peace. Many times people are seeking that quietness. Many times people are seeking the control of their own spirit and the slowness to anger. Where do you find all those things? It's by submitting yourself to the Lord. Remember, the wisdom that cometh from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. The fruits of the Spirit are there. But those that seek the wisdom from down below, the wisdom that descendeth not from above, but is earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. From where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Stop envying what the world has. They have nothing on you. They have nothing compared to what we have. The world would pay a huge price for the peace that a Christian can have. They just can't find it. They look for it in a bottle. They look for it in a needle. They look for it on pornography. They look for it in enjoyment and extra relationships. They look for it everywhere. They can't find it. They don't have it. But we have it. And if we would learn to allow ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, the envying and the strife, there's a better way. There's just a better way to live. Also, I know I'm not going to win any friends with these verses, but it's the Bible, right? And so because it's the Bible, we should look at it. And it goes with the lesson. So ladies, I don't apologize because it's the Bible, but these verses are written about wives. Look what it says in Proverbs 21:9. Proverbs 21:9. I know we have ladies that want to be spirit-filled and be godly. So there's some better, it's better... here too, Proverbs 21:9. And it's written here. I wouldn't have wrote this, but God did. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And then let's go to Proverbs 25. So we'll take both of these together and look at them together instead of, actually, Proverbs 21 is still there. Look at verse number 19. Verse number 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So it's saying here in verse number 9, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, the only spot where you can find some peace, or even it's better to just go out all by yourself than have to deal with a contentious and angry woman. Then look at 25:24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, once again, you look at this, and it's saying there's a great affliction to have to live with someone that's brawling, that's someone that's anger, and contentious. Now, this is difficult because it's focused on the lady. Now, don't get me wrong. There's many times when we look at someone, and I look at them, and sometimes I look at that and say, man, I'm sorry that she's married to him because of the way he treats her. Or I'm sorry because of the way that he's married to her because of the way that she acts. But the Bible speaks about here about peace that is found and peace that can be had. And they're saying that sometimes in this house, now there is just a certain spot where a man can only find peace in the corner of a housetop or in the wilderness because his wife is someone who's brawling. His wife is someone who's angry. His wife is someone who is contentious. Ladies, don't make your house like that. It's Bible there. There is a better way of surrendering yourself. The person who can that is not slow to anger. Now, are there some husbands that need encouragement? Your prayers will do more than your encouragement ever would. Getting on your knees and praying for your husband will change him quicker than nagging him. And husbands, the same way. Your prayers will change your wife quicker than anything that you think that you can dream up. There's a better way. And I want to encourage you here with this and be thinking about this. What is the better way? And once again, it's not, and I know they use the ladies, I think they use the ladies' example here is because the lady is the keeper of the home. And as lady is the keeper of the home, she kind of sets the mood many times in the house. And I'm not talking about some type of romantic mood, but I'm talking about when the husband comes in after working, that they would set the temperature of the house. You know, it's either it's on as soon as they walk in the door, or you can give them the time to kind of unwind for a second or two. And I'm not talking about allowing your husband to be lazy. I'm not talking about letting your wife be lazy. I'm just saying that a woman, it talks about how they buildeth her house or she plucketh it down. And if we're angry and contentious and brawling, and we wonder why there's so many times problems at the house, or why a husband would rather be somewhere else than be at home, or a wife would not want to be around their husband, we need to pray for that. We need to work on that. There is a better way, and the better way is with peace. Remember that wisdom descendeth not from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. From where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Okay, one last one. So we had better than riches, better with peace, and better to trust God. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Psalm 118. Psalms 118. Psalms 118, according to some of the commentators I was reading today, talks about how this would have been a song that they would have sung that night before Jesus had, on the night that he, right before his death. And it says in chapter 118, in verses 8 and 9, it says something very similar. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So we end it with this thought. Do you believe what the Bible says? Do you trust him? Because we just looked at a bunch of things that dealing with finances, that there are certain things that are better. It's better to have the fear of the Lord. It's better to be humble. It's better to walk in our uprightness. It's better for us to be righteous and have just a little than to have a whole big bunch with strife, to have a whole big bunch with the evil. Have a whole big bunch over here. Now you say, Pastor, I hear it, I get it, but I'm kind of okay with this. The pride thing doesn't really bother me. You're not trusting in the Lord. When the Bible says it is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man, I don't think it's just talking about how we sometimes put confidence in others. I think it's talking about how sometimes we put confidence in ourselves and how we look at it. Because we got to realize we're flesh just like the next guy is. We don't use that as an excuse, but instead we realize that our heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. And that who can know it? The Lord does. And that's why he puts in there's a better way. There's a better life. Yes, it's low. And yes, it's little. And yes, it's with the lowly. And yes, it's with those that are humble. And yes, it's with those that walk in the fear of the Lord. And yes, it's with all these things that the world would tell you they're losers. But God says that's a better way than dealing with those that are evil and those that are prideful and those that are getting things with the wrong gain. No, don't. It might look like it's better, but don't bite into it. It's a lie. And then it talked about with peace. Things are better with peace. Whether it's with our marriages that we alluded to, or if it's just who we eat with, it's better to be slow to anger. It's better to have just a dry morsel than to be around a bunch of sacrifices with strifes. But we look at these things and say, I'm not sure about that. It's the Bible. And that's what we become sure about. The Bible, the Word of God. We're trusting it. We're believing it. We're embracing it. And we're saying, this is what God wants. I'm going to take care of it. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm trusting that. Because it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And I thought about that. And sometimes princes, it has the idea of the supposed to be the higher up, the better, the stronger, the brightest, the one that has the most potential. But I even think about the leaders that they are. It's better to have confidence in God than those people in Washington, D.C. That's for sure, right? I think we would all agree with that. But at the same time, we sometimes feel like if we can change Washington, we're going to bring America back to God. Changing Washington and America begins in our churches and begins in our own lives. And yes, then we have more we put in better people in the office, which would help change America. But don't have our confidence in other things. Have our confidence in the Lord and what he can do. Better, better. There is a better way. And sometimes we do things the hard way. And like I said, there's been times when I felt really stupid when someone come up and says, hey, just try this. And it only takes a second. I'm thinking, where were you yesterday? Or where were you the day before? But God's wisdom is there and it's available. He even says that it's better to have that wisdom than the riches. Wisdom is better than rubies in Proverbs, it says. Wisdom is better than gold, it says in Proverbs. Wisdom is better than silver, as it says in Proverbs, over and over. And it's there, it's here for us. It cries out to us, it talks about. It's a better way. So what is the better way? And hopefully this is, I know it's a little bit of a offspin of the blessed thought, but it is something similar that God says, this is a better way. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here. Lord, I pray that we take these verses, and I know there was a lot that was thrown out there tonight, that they will take them home and they will consider. And they will look at themselves and they look at their possessions and say that there is something better than riches. It's wisdom. There's something better than riches. It's being right with God, being humble before the Lord. There's the fear of the Lord. All those things are more valuable than any thing that this world has to offer. And God, I pray that we seek peace. Lord, blessed are the peacemakers. I pray that we don't just try to keep peace, that we make peace. And Lord, that we will see that when it talks about the strife that's brought by just conversations that aren't necessary, but sometimes we just want to prick and we just want to prod and we just want to stoke the flames of how someone is struggling. But Lord, that instead we would seek peace, that we would not be described as earthly or sensual or devilish, but instead it would be the peace that cometh from above. And Lord, I pray that you help us with that. Lord, speak to our hearts about the better way. Lord, we know there's only one way to heaven. We know that that's through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. But Lord, also help us to embrace what the Bible says is the blessed life. What the Bible says is the better way. And Lord, I know there's a lot more verses in there that talks about how a good name is better than this and how other things are better than this. But tonight, Lord, help us to focus on understanding where our treasure, our wealth is, our possessions, the place it belongs. And also, Lord, how we should strive for peace amongst our family, amongst our church family, but also have our confidence in you. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.